Do you know that God loves you? That He has a special plan for your life? Through His Word and by His Spirit, this program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
Do you like new? I like new. I love the smell of fresh lumber. And I think it's interesting that Jesus Christ was the son of a carpenter. He was a builder, too, and I think that he would like to remodel some things in our life. If you have ever had any experience with having remodeling done in your home or apartment, there's an inconvenience for a time, but it's so worth it to have some changes made, to have a new look, something more convenient, something brighter, and more attractive. There are times in our lives where we really need to discard the old and get something new. And we hold on to old ways because we think that those old ways are who we are, old thought patterns, and we don't really understand that our life and our attitudes and our actions are being influenced by those old belief systems, things that we believe, maybe from our childhood, words that we've heard, teachers that we've been influenced by. And maybe some of those things that we've collected aren't even true. And we need to read the Word of God and see what God has to say on the subject. We need some changes in our life. And to have those changes, we have to be open to change. We have to be open to getting rid of those things that have deteriorated in our lives. Those old thought patterns, old relationships, old belief systems. God, who makes all things new, He is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And because we've been made in His image and likeness, He wants us personally to put off the old and put on the new. Reading from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, starting with verse 23. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The likeness of God. Sometimes we get down on ourselves and we think of our lives as being unimportant. We don't realize that we've been influenced by those who believe in evolution, that we're just a dust particle floating around and our life has no meaning. Instead of finding our identity in Christ, that we've been made a little less than the angels. And that at the very beginning, Adam and Eve, who walked in the garden, were clothed with the glory of God until they rebelled and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And isn't that the tree that the world is eating from today? The world wants to be like God. And through knowledge and seemingly knowledge and scientific discovery, would try to have us believe that man is a mere accident. Psalm 14 tells us, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instructions. Reading from the first chapter of Romans, Blessing Version, verse 18 to 23. But God's angry displeasure erupts as acts of human mistrust and wrongdoing and lying accumulate as people try to put a shroud over truth. But the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes and there it is. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, people have always been able to see what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of His divine being. So nobody has a good excuse. What happened was this. People knew God perfectly well, but when they didn't treat Him like God, refusing to worship Him, they trivialize themselves into silliness and confusion, so that there was neither sense nor direction left in their lives. They pretended to know it all, but were illiterate regarding life. They traded the glory of God, who holds the whole world in his hands, for cheap figurines you can buy at any roadside stand. Unfortunately, the spirit of this world would have us influenced by that vain philosophy. As man in the center of his world, directing and guiding the universe, and at the same time, there is no regard for human life as we know it. There is no divine direction, no submission to a higher authority. Confusion, depression. Man has lost his identity. It is only when we see ourselves created God-breathed creatures. Yes, we have been made from the dust of the earth, but God breathed into our souls, created in his image and likeness, our spirits, our that part of us that's going to live forever someplace, either in the pit of darkness, separated from God, otherwise known as hell, or to be with him in the city four square, the New Jerusalem, where there is no darkness, there is no night, but where the Lamb radiates his light, eternal light, forever and ever, that place where there are no tears, no sorrow, no mourning, joy unspeakable. So I have this choice whether to listen to the spirit of this world, to fight unbelief, to walk in faith, to walk in life, to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, to have my mind renewed by what God's word says, instead of all the voices from the past and the voices that are out there right now that speak with such authority. And yet, foolishness. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Reading the word of God, meditating upon it, that reconstruction that we need in our lives, that new work that God wants to do, consulting with the divine architect, the planner, the one with vision, the creator. Surely he who created us, who knew us before the foundation of the world, knows how to fix those things in our life that are not lined up with his divine plan. But I have to seek his face. I have to say, oh God, do a new work in me. I have to cooperate by renewing my mind and believing that his word is true and that the spirit of this world is wrong. And we can have breakthroughs and life can change. Our vision can change. Our vision can change from that which is earthly to that which is heavenly. And reading from Philippians, the 3rd chapter, starting with verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, forgetting the past, and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. To have the mind of Christ, to have the same attitude that Jesus had.
To receive when others reject, to treat each one with true respect, to shield when others throw stones, to be with one who's all. Best to live like this is nothing less than to possess the mind of Christ, my highest goal, the Lord's delight, the desire of my soul, the Father's heart will always guide my life if I will have in me the mind of Christ. To build up when others tear down, grace where it's needed most, rejecting pride when others boast, to sacrifice my all without regret. To live like this is nothing less than to possess the mind of Christ, my highest goal, the Lord's delight, the desire of my soul, the Father's heart will always guide my life if I will have in me the mind.
Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantage of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privilege of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far above anyone or anything ever, so that all created things in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Christ Jesus and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Jesus didn't live to please himself, but his heavenly Father. And when we ask Jesus Christ into our heart, he leads us to the Father, Father God, who loves us so much and has such wonderful plans for us. And we see our identity, we see who we are when we look into his eyes. And we know that we have been made into his image and likeness. And I find it so wonderful to meet other Christians in other lands. And I can look in their eyes and I might not understand the language, but I see my Father's eyes. And it's so wonderful to know that we're all part of his family and part of this wonderful divine plan. Supernatural. Another world. And yet he's called us to live in this world and to show his love and bring forth the fruit of our relationship with him to those that are hungry, to those that have been ensnared and encaptured by the spirit of this world in humanism, under the control of the spirit of Antichrist. But he would send us forth to bring the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to set at liberty those that are captive. When we're born again, the Lord gives us a whole new life, a new vision, a new reason for living. Reading from 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, 17th verse. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God we're entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. To know that our sins have been forgiven, that we're totally alive in Christ, that he loves us, and to be so filled with him, with the Holy Spirit, that we want to share that good news with others. Surely when we have some information in the natural that has blessed us, whether it's a new product, a new book, a new way of doing things, a shortcut, whatever that information is, we're excited and we want to call our friends and share that with them. How much more eternal life when we see those around us just bent over and in grief and all kinds of problems to the point of despair. And we have the secret within us. We have the Holy One of Israel. We have the answer to their problems. We know the key of eternal life. How much more would we want to share that good news of the new thing that God has done in us and through us, to be adopted into the family of God, the most exciting thing going in the world today. Reading from Ephesians, first chapter, third verse. Paul speaking. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. To be chosen by the Father before the foundation of the world as his sons, part of the family of God. What an honor and a privilege, what love. How precious. To show his love to the world. Father's love.
No other love like yours. to see Father face to face. Reading from Psalm 139. This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from God. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the morning winds to the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. If I try to hide in the darkness, the night becomes light around me. For even darkness cannot hide from God. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness are both alike to you. To live in the face of God, knowing that He knows everything about us. He knows what we think about, what we say. He knows our hidden sin. But by the illumination of the Holy Spirit, He can help us to repent and turn away from darkness and seek the light and be in the light as He is. Reading from Romans, 8th chapter, 29th verse. For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to Him, and all along He knew who would, should become like His Son, so that His Son would be the first with many brothers. And having chosen us, He called us to come to Him. And when we came, He declared us not guilty, filled us with Christ's goodness, gave us right standing with Himself, and promised us His glory. What an inheritance we have. The glory of God, lost in the garden through Adam and Eve, but given to us through redemption in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God loves you with an amazing love. Mary Winchell here.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazingloveministries.org.